Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Welcome to Playful Podcast, your guide into the underground scene where we discover topics on kink and electronic music every week. Don't forget to subscribe to not miss out on our next episode. We're excited to be here today with Raffaello Donnaloia, better known as Metaraf. Metaraf is known for their industrial hardcore influence and crossbreed various genres. They're also known for performing, dancing, and bringing a show whenever they are on stage. In this conversation, we speak about who Raff was when they grew up, feeling as if they never fit in and always search for a home. We also speak about when they first arrived in London and then later on in Berlin, and we compare the two cities and their nightlife. And we speak about safe or safer spaces. Do they actually exist? And if so, what have they meant to Raff? As well as how important is that? Okay, let's get to it. I am Amanda and this is Playful Podcast. Okay, so who was Raff back in school in Italy?
Raff back in the time, obviously, it was this type of black sheep, you know, of the family, or black sheep of the village in a way. Always been a bit the weirdo of the situation. But in a way, that's always been the only way that I felt I could only be, even if probably wasn't really the easiest choice to navigate the society that I was living in, because it was a super small village. About like 500 fishermen. So you can imagine how could have been the background.
Oh, and also to know when you're that young that you are like the black sheep, you know, like to realize that's very intense when you're so young, I guess.
Yeah, in a way, it just, you know, it slaps in your face, because obviously, you know, you see things, you hear things that people, you know, yell at you or tell you on the street. And it was also, I think, a mix of different things. Like, it was about my queerness. It was about being homosexual. It was about being also mixed race and a bit Asian or a bit darker than the usual looking Italian in a way. So in a way, even if all of this was something kind of like a heavy artillery on me, in a way also shapes me to shape who I am right now. So I'm also thankful to that in a way. I think in a way it was already like showing up, because already I knew that I was discovering to be homosexual, but I was still already not really fitting or not really, you know, feeling to belong really to that specific community. So it was something else. I just completely didn't really discover what was exactly or find other proper, like similar, like-minded people. But this happened when I actually moved to London. That's, you know, where everything actually started to amplify, because I started to meet other more inspiring people, see other possibilities of realities, of just being yourself and to express yourself. So, because before I was not even aware that, you know, I could have expressed myself in such a way.
Yeah, do you have siblings, by the way?
I do, one older brother and one younger sister.
Ah, okay. But were you this internet kid?
Well, back in the time, internet, yeah, it was
like finding community and like discovering that there are other people, you know, who are maybe more so like you, or also don't feel that they fit in.
So I remember that back then internet came when I was about 16 or 15, you know, properly in my house with the cables and stuff, doing these weird noises and stuff, exactly. But back then, yeah, it wasn't really about more finding that community. It was just, you know, exploring, you know, this social media world in a way. But also I moved out quite early-ish in a way, so when I was 19, and therefore I just started to explore that in London right away. Without the internet search part.
So you moved to London by yourself?
I moved to London by myself. I firstly moved in the south of England in a very small village in a forest, because my brother was working there. So he just helped me out with the first steps, you know, to get a job there and starting to work and learn the language. And then after 6-7 months, I moved by myself in London, where then I joined a friend that was already living there. And then I just started up.
From the Fisher Village.
From the Fisher Village to the forest.
But the friend was from the Fisher Village.
No, just another village near the Fisher Village. It was all villages around, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. How does it feel when you go back to that city today?
I still love it, because there's still so many beautiful things that I appreciate from the landscapes, especially because I just spent a lot of time back then just contemplating nature and, you know, the quietness and the depth and the immenseness of just, you know, the nature, because it's also on the coast. I'm like 5 minutes away from the sea. So I spend a lot of, you know, nights and morning looking at the sunset and sunrise there. And that's something, you know, very priceless in a way. So I still love to connect with that, or also be able to see all the stars in the night sky, which is impossible in all this, on all the capital that I lived, like London and Berlin.
But the nature is also something that has inspired you in your jewelry crafts, right?
In a way, the natural part, more reconnecting to my roots, as I'm a quarter Maori. So there is a lot of this connection with this tribal energy that comes up in this expression of my jewelry. And that's something that I found it fascinating, that discovering it after I started to create all of this. It wasn't something that just came out with a proper plan in a way. It was just something that came out of, you know, need to create. And then this understanding and awareness came afterwards. So it was something that I felt I was connecting my medium of arts with also my part of my roots in a way.
Mm. And that's also something you discovered more so in London, or like put more energy into. Mm-hmm. And there's one thing I thought about, because I think a lot of people who move to a big city can feel that it's hard to find a community. Like the first, I know that many people have said that the first people they meet are necessarily not friends that you don't have for so long or feel like super deep connection to. But how did you find like your first connections, or like how did you find your community when you first came to London, for example?
So for the first 2 years, not much was happening also in terms of creativity and expression, because I was really focusing on navigating this new space, this new society, learning how to be an adult, working and, you know, paying the rent and the bills and all of that. And obviously it took a lot of time to climatize with the new environment. So for 2 years, I was not able to connect with my creativity for this reason, but it was there. It was just, you know, waiting and accumulating in a way, until the moment that about 2 years after I moved and I was working and everything, but was nothing creative. It just was too much and it was really like exploding. So I lost a job and then I was looking for a job which was more creative.
And what was the job you lost?
So the job that I started to do in London was working in this Mexican restaurant. It was an American chain called Chipotle. So it was really funny because this like stereotypical American company, you know, where you get inside and you get kind of like a brainwashed with all the values of the company. So you have to believe on it, you know, even when you go out to sleep.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Very exciting. Like, very creative.
How do they do it? It's like a sect then, basically.
It's a very like a sect of vibes. Yeah, totally.
What did they tell you?
It was hilarious, you know. Yeah. It was just hilarious to see who actually was really, you know, believing on it and stuff.
What did they say, for example?
I mean, they were like so, you know, motivational and, you know, trying to be such a good humans in order for you to even get more into the trap, you know, of the whole work, because you see that the person is nice to and stuff. But yeah, I arrived at the moment that even the universe made me stop working there. And that's why indeed they fired me at the end.
Good for you.
Good for me. Yeah. Actually, all the fire that happened in my life, there were three, only happened to actually level up in life. And that was something interesting, because I felt like it's almost like if I was procrastinating to make the change, but then the universe didn't allow that. So it made happen the change. So I had to change.
Oh, yes. I'm getting like, what's your view on like spirituality and these things?
I mean, I definitely see myself more spiritual than religious, because I do believe my own experience rather than believing the experience of someone else and take it as example to follow like religion. And I do believe like in energies, I believe in intuition. And these are the things that I follow the most, really. Like these are my guide signs.
Did you always have a strong intuition?
In a way, I think we all do have a strong intuition, but sometimes we have louder voices that confuse our mind.
Yeah. But did you always feel that you could hear your intuition stronger than your mind?
Well, I've always been sensitive in a way and sensible. So I used to also see a bit more like colors around people back when I was younger and stuff.
Auras.
Oh, really? And energy and stuff. It's something that I kind of like lost throughout the time. I remember it was being very, very exciting to see this. But it's in a way, I still definitely still am connected to these energetic flows now.
What
probably
an amazing child you must have been. Like the cutest. And also,
it's very synesthetic in a way. You know, when you see colors or when you hear shapes.
Yeah, but did you have that? Like, did your family value that?
Oh, it was always something very secret in a way. Mm. Always secret, maybe shared with some other friends that I could have shared these type of things, because maybe they were also sensitive enough to understand also things about telepathy or telekinesis and stuff like that. Was things that I've already kind of like experienced and explored a bit more in the past. I had my answers and then I just left it there. I didn't need to pursue it on it or, you know, just focus more than that. It was something like a personal proof, in a way, to myself.
Wow, you feel like such a old little soul, little rat. Like, right?
A little bottle.
Yeah. But how did your musical journey look like?
So my musical journey, just as a listener or as a musician?
Like everything, like from a from
the
when
childhood
you were,
and stuff. Well, thankfully, even if me and my father do not have many connection, emotional connection, we did share in a way, like a lot of my artistical endeavors actually comes from his side, because he first of all has a very good hand in designing. He's like an architect also. He primarily is an executive chef, but he was also very good in designing. So this is something that came also from him. Also the love for the music, it comes from him because he's an audiophile. So he's been spending a lot of money in amplifiers and speakers of all sorts since I was a kid, and just blasting music when he was coming back, you know, bringing a lot of CDs and cassettes. It was more rock, more classical, but still this kind of like arise something in me from the early age. Then obviously, you know, I grew up in south of Italy, so I was victim of the radio. So you just ended up, you know, listening to what everyone listens, so this type of pop music. But I got saved when I started to do dance and to go to contemporary dance. And the music, type of music that my teacher will use, it was something more ambient or more experimental or more voices or choir based. So this started to show me, you know, this more ambient and experimental electronic side of music, which excited me a lot. So that's when I started to transition to that. When I was about 15, 16, I started to go to my first techno event. So that's when
early
that
on.
Came. I was an early bird in a way. And also around the same age, I also explored also the more the rave scene, which is kind of like big in south of Italy with all this free techno rave party. So like with even the harder and faster genres of electronic.
And that was even in the south of Italy.
Yeah. Like in south of Italy, there's also famous festival of this type of music where people from all over Europe come and stuff. It's this type of places that, you know, you need to take a car with your friends and travel like 2 hours and go like in a field and you just stay there for 2 days or something. So that was the type of journey. And then when it came to London, after I started to do some more performance work and stuff, I also started to DJ. And I started with techno, more type of like Maceo Plex or Rimco Be Quiet or techno. But then I started to discover also industrial and EBM and synthwave and darkwave. And that really like excited me a lot also because I started to meet the goth community of London in the underground scene. And that was super hyper exciting. Meeting all those amazing people and the community, and they show me a lot. That's actually where I learned more about performance art. Going to this club and seeing some performance acts during the night, it really like blew my mind. Because when I was in Italy, I had no idea about this. I only knew dance, you know, in this theater, in this academical way. But this was totally more like a storytelling moment and stuff. So that's also when I clicked again, because I left dance when I was 18. And then when I went to London, I didn't do any project and stuff. And then after 2 years, when I discovered performance, then I also started to do it myself too. So I could reconnect with the dance part.
It feels like you always have been very drawn to culture, like the dance, music, the jewelry, like, would you say, because normally I feel that if you're interested in culture, it's very often something that your parents introduce you to also, or it's like, did you feel that it also came from there for you, or did you have to discover it yourself?
I think in a way, because already from when I was living back home in Italy, and you know, still where I was living, there wasn't really much inspiration really out there. So it still really is a question in a way, you know, where it came from in a way. But I also feel like that perhaps the way how my father decorated our home and interior design and stuff, because it was all pieces from China. Because he's living there since many, many years. So he's been bringing a lot of like furniture and like mosaics and so many things from there. And I feel that definitely this in a way also started to shape a bit my creativity, my imagination in a way. I think definitely this is one of the first steps. Obviously then maybe, you know, making research on the internet or whatever, you know, I could have seen more things. But definitely, obviously, moving to London and stuff enriched everything else in a way.
I realized that I have very hard to like lose grip of Little Ruff. But I'm just very curious. Because I feel often kids are so easily shapeable and want to fit in and do what it takes to fit in. What do you think made you stand strong within your personality and who you felt you were at the core, even when people were making it obvious that you weren't fitting in?
Well, definitely it's not easy, but I always knew that there was no other way to just be apart from just being myself and keep expressing myself, because otherwise it will be like a lie. I would be lying to myself, you know, in a way. And already for me, this was quite clear. In a way, it was still very hard to go through and to navigate all of that and still standing strong. But something I discovered and realized afterwards also, that expressing yourself, it's not even only for ourselves and to be good with ourselves and to feel, you know, aligned. It's also for the others. It's also to give an opportunity to others to show them the way, to show that this is okay, that people can also do it and you can just be yourself. I think like most of the people that inspired me have taught me this mostly, that this is like a chain reaction. Like as people have inspired me because they were dressed in a certain way one day when I saw them walking, also, you know, someone else will have this reaction with seeing me walking on the street dressed in a certain way. So I think if you can't do it only for yourself, for sure you can also do it for the others in a way.
Yeah, I love that. That is so true. Well, were you then ever like, do you ever have stage fright? Or was the stage and performing always also part of who you are, you think?
Well, I think at the beginning, it's normal for everyone to be a little bit frightened by the stage, you know, being on the stage under the light and in front of the crowd. Same can also be being in front of the camera. These are all things that can, you know, create anxiety in people. But I think the more you do it, more you practice something, the more you get better at it, more you feel confident with yourself. So in a way, like, I think my first approach with stages was already back then when I was doing dance. So already this, I think, helped me in a way to, you know, to feel more at ease when I just started to perform as a DJ. But also same was when I started in London to perform in clubs, that already kind of like developed this kind of like tolerance to being on the stage. So that's why it came kind of like easy for me just to feel myself comfortable and at ease.
Yeah, because today you're definitely a performer. Like everyone knows that they'll get a full-on show.
Yeah, sometimes this is a double-edged knife because this is not something, you know, I actually ever planned to create. I was just thought, you know, to do my own things. And obviously I'm a dancer and obviously I'm a DJ. So obviously I will end it up doing both sometimes and stuff. But then, yeah, I saw that it started to create this this mix that in a way people were really appreciating way more than just, you know, a simple like DJ set in a way. And yeah, sometimes I have to say that it might be a little hard to cope up with it all the time, because sometimes I feel like people are always expecting that, but in a way, it's not something that is also robotic. In a way, you know, it depends from so many things. Depends on my mood in the night, you know, depends on the energy, depends on the crowd. Also, that's something that it's kind of like it's very connected. Sometimes when I feel like, you know, the crowd is really there and they're giving me so much energy and everything, you know, just comes out naturally and stuff. But sometimes I can end up playing in some places where I'm totally like, you know, can be out of the blue and stuff, and the crowd is not necessarily always giving me so much energy back, and therefore also, you know, I cannot give back so much energy also.
And I mean, we all have good and bad days, feel tired sometimes.
We're also humans too.
Yeah, if you have so many gigs in a row and you're flying from destination to destination.
Yeah, like, people still expect, you know, 100% and stuff.
But it's aching.
Yes, sometimes, when it's like the third gig of the weekend and you still need to rock it, sometimes it's like, but you know, sometimes, you know, even if the energy in the last party is super amazing, everything doesn't mind, you know, like you just get adrenaline from this moment, and you perhaps will die after the set, but during the set it's all good. You're rocking the game.
Oh wow. And then, but from London you decided to move to Berlin. Was that at the same time you also got, I want to say signed, but I don't know if you say that, by B-Pitch?
Yeah, you can signed. Say signed. Yeah, you can say signed. Yeah.
Yeah. Was that at the in the same
kind of similar time? Yeah, I moved in September 2020, and with B-Pitch, I think it was something like June-ish, yeah, August, this type of time. Yeah, because I think they noticed me after the second her set I did back in April, and then. That's why then they decided to reach out and see if I wanted to join them, which I happily did.
Yeah. How was the, what was the motivation to move to Berlin? How did you usually come here on vacation before? Or
yeah, exactly. I mean, I was in London, and I think around the third year I was in London, I started to travel to Berlin to visit. And obviously I fell in love right away with the city, with the clubbing scene, and with the lifestyle, because it's quite different from London. But in the same time, I knew I was not ready yet to leave London. I wanted to create something a bit more solid and concrete there in order to live and then come here and just continue with that. Instead of, you know, just living too early London, didn't create something proper, and then I have to come here and start all over from zero. I was like, no, I'm not going to leave London after all this effort and don't have something great in my hands. So that's why I decided to wait, and then 6 years came, and then Corona came. And that's when I understood it was time to make the change, which was also quite like, could have been, you know, also like, it was also quite hard to make a change and a move during Corona because of all the money and jobless moment and stuff. But in a way, it worked out actually really well for me because of the live stream and stuff.
Okay, good.
Because also people were not really party, so everyone was watching the live stream, and that helped.
Yeah.
After to be booked. And
also, well, here it was cheaper to live, right?
Yeah, exactly. That was the other thing, you know, because it was, I think, like 5 months of no work and everything. And if I would have been in London, it would have been way harder to actually sustain the rent and the life without job.
Yeah. But if you compare the London club scene to the Berlin club scene, how would you say they differ?
Oh, they're very different. Also, apart from the length, obviously London party about 7-8 hours max. Berlin, obviously we know how extended they are. Also, the people are different. I mean, in London is always more a lot of more appearance in a way. In Berlin, you can get that too in some party, you know, more like some fashiony people and stuff that, you know, just spend maybe more time, you know, just posing rather than dancing and raving. But also here, you still have, you know, a whole clubbing culture and understanding of it and awareness and stuff, which you don't really have so much in London. So that's that was, I think, the main differences and stuff. But obviously, you know, also queer party in London were really like fun and fabulous. And I mean, also definitely people were putting more efforts in the outfits and expressing themselves. And that was, you know, definitely one of the most inspiring part. Like party was always like super extravaganza, and everyone was, you know, a full on character. You don't really see that so much in Berlin, but it's totally understandable because it's different culture. You know, so you cannot be that dressed up as London for 40 hours as you would do, you know, in Berlin. So it's about also practicality and according to that, yeah.
Yeah. And something that a lot of people are speaking about is obviously, if whether clubs are a safe or safer space or not, or like, you know, these kind of, what's your view on that? Like, do you feel safe in clubs in Berlin?
I mean, I think Berlin is trying to do a good job.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
While this, raising awareness and, you know, trying to shape guidelines to actually how to create safe space, because it's not only about selecting the good crowd with a door policy. This is one of the main first thing. It's also about the type of stuff that you have working for your party. For example, some security people can be very rude and can actually feel unnecessarily unsafe people. And this can also kind of like ruin the vibes, because maybe the promoter are trying to make everything super safe and great, but then, you know, the staff or the security is compromising that. It's also about having diversity and equality in the type of DJ that you're calling, but also in the staff that is working in the club. You know, if you only have a whole staff of people working white, it's not really the most diversity place in a way. So, you know, it's all about different factors, different elements working together in order to create a really safe space for everyone, actually. So I can tell that Berlin is trying to do good things, some clubs more than others, also about, for example, toilet and gender neutral toilets and stuff. Berlin is kind of like pretty open to that, but the job has to be done, obviously, to the rest of the world and the rest of the, especially, you know, around us, because they are very close, like in Europe. And I feel like I'm seeing also online, you know, more and more events are raising awareness about, you know, consent, about, you know, no discrimination of any type. And it's something nice to see also, you know, like people trying to make the effort, and not only in Berlin, but also in other places.
Yeah.
It's needed.
Very needed to inform people about that. It's because it's not obvious. And that's the... Sometimes you may think it's crazy, especially if you heard it for years, you may think it's crazy, but then you should go back in time and remember the first time you read it and how you were feeling like, oh, wow, like I didn't see this before.
Yeah, right? Actually. Yeah, when you start to see also like this post like around the club, you know, with things printed.
Yeah. And then you also feel like, okay, probably the security is informed about this, and then you would feel safer to go to them because it's been situations.
Yeah, also like seeing awareness team people, you know, it's something nice, you know, because sometimes some people can also come by themselves and, you know, experience certain things that, you know, maybe they're not feeling super well, but obviously they're alone and stuff, so they don't really know, you know, where to or who to talk to. But then seeing these awareness people, you know, just walking around and checking if everyone is okay, I think it's something good, you know, for people also. Mm-hmm. And some parties I'm seeing this more and more also, so it's something great.
Yeah, it's the proudness of it on social media and these things is also like pushing or like setting, it's pushing other clubs to also get better, you know?
Yeah, to show the way, to inspire them. Exactly.
Yeah. Is this, because I have no clue. I haven't been in London for like years. Is this also something that's going on, that's happening over there right now?
So in London, I haven't not been there so many times, but back then, which was 2 years ago and stuff, I don't think there wasn't really like an awareness team. A big problem, I think, was also about the security, which most of the time was a bit too rude. I remember also last time I played in London, but it was like a very off location and stuff. Like the bouncer, you know, were really rude also with me that I had to close on the clock, you know, and I was finishing the track and he was really like interrupting me and stuff when I was just saying that the track is about to finish. But I remember that was a really like London energy and stuff. So yeah, definitely. I don't think that I haven't seen also many, you know, educational posts about this from so many events there in London. But I think, you know, sooner or later, it should get there.
Yeah.
Should get a bit more everywhere and stuff also. Obviously, I think like in other queer parties and stuff, these things might be more spread out than maybe more like a straightish event in a way.
Yeah.
But we need also that in the straightish event.
Yeah. And many, like, not many, but some sex clubs are also having a more so straighter energy. But anyway, whatever the sex club is, that is like so important to like talk about what consent
yeah, is. Exactly. And having a reminder printed, you know, around all the venue and stuff. I found that's very something useful, actually. Even like myself, like walking around and seeing this again was something that is a good reminder, you know, for people.
And every time you allow something, you also have the same obligation to inform, right? Like if it's not allowed, you can just sweep it under the rug. But if it's allowed, then it's like, well, then there's some.
No, exactly. It's really important thing. Educate the people.
Yeah, for sure. Oh my God, I thought we talked in 20 minutes. Okay, I'm gonna see if I'm missing. Wow, I love speaking to you. You're so smart. No. What makes you stay in Berlin today?
Obviously, I love this liberal, open-minded lifestyle that you can have here in Berlin with, you know, based with all these amazing people that you meet here in Berlin. And the lifestyle is very relaxing in a way. For me, it's relaxing because obviously coming from London where there is this hyper work energy, it is very relaxing. And then something I really appreciate since I moved here. Definitely, yeah, I really love the lifestyle here. And I feel like this is the place where I should be at the moment.
But like the gut feeling.
Yeah, that's the gut feeling that that's where I should be here. I don't know if this gut feeling, though, it will stay, you know, for really, really long in a way. Because this winter depression here, it's really heavy.
You feel it?
Yeah, not necessarily me, but definitely outside of me. You know, I feel that people are going through this. I'm seeing the city's gray and it's dark and all of this. And that's not an energy booster for me. And, you know, the fact that I'm traveling a lot now for work is allowing me to actually see many type of realities that I could be living. So, you know, that's why I'm like, what am I actually really doing here in this moment? So I'm thinking perhaps in the future I'll either keep living in Berlin, but only 6 months, so like spring and summer, and then live elsewhere a bit sunnier and brighter and warmer for other 6 months, still in Europe, still nearby.
Yeah.
Still need to figure where.
Yeah, I was like, where?
I don't know, maybe something like Spain or Italy or Portugal, something more in that side, because that's where the sun is.
Yeah, but I hear it's really cold in Portugal in the winter.
Yeah, it is actually.
But it's sunny, so it's...
Yeah, you know, the thing is, it's not really so much about the warmth, because obviously in winter it's supposed to be cold or colder, but it's about the light. You know, the light, it really affects me a lot, really. True. If I wake up and I see the light, my energy is 2,000 times more than when I wake up and I see this cloudy, doubtful mood.
No, it's true. You wake up and it's dark, and then you've been up for five hours and it's dark again.
No, yeah, it's not really the best. And the fact that I'm seeing this every weekend, you know, in different places I go, I'm like, okay. Because obviously if you always stay here, you don't really, you know, feel these needs or see the comparison as much.
Yeah.
Totally. But also, you know, also the clubbing scene here in Europe, like comparing Europe, is one of the most amazing, exciting here in Berlin.
At least it offers that.
Yeah. This is, you know, one of the compensation that you definitely can enjoy, you know, this moody, depressive winter.
Definitely. Yeah. Speaking of, like, do you prioritize partying still now that you are so busy and travel a lot?
Not at all. Not at all. I never really so much prioritized. It was always like something balanced for me, because for me, everything is about balance, and too much partying is never good. Too much nothingness is never good either. Relax is not good. So even now, more that I work so much and stuff, for me is actually super important to have a very balanced week with my routine, with my gym, and with all the work that I have to do. So then I can feel more balanced to just get messed up, you know, in the weekend, because there's not much of sleep. There's all the food, you know, it's all up and down, and it's changing and stressful sometimes with losing luggages or delay of flights. And yeah, so in a way, that's how I balance and I manage with the rhythm of the weekend. Mm. I have something like my ritual.
Yeah,
I always go to my favorite Italian restaurant, you know, when I come back. I go always to sauna to sweat everything out,
what
to
sauna?
Relax.
Like a gym sauna.
Hmm?
Like the gym sauna.
No, like Vavali or Sort.
So good. Okay, so
it's
what
like
more
a ritual,
routine?
Yeah,
what more kind of, what more?
Well, my other routine, obviously, I go to gym from Monday to Thursday, because on Friday I travel, and then I also try to eat a bit more balanced. Then I also do my Ableton session and stuff.
Yeah.
Because there's always some deadline. So this is my type of routine. And then in the night, I reward myself, you know, with something more relaxing, you know, like meeting some friends or, you know, just chilling or all of this.
The eating healthy is something I hear so many touring artists talk about now.
It's very bad, you know, it really fucks up with the stomach, you know, because sometimes in tour, you know, you always eat in different times and different food from different part of the world. And sometimes your stomach is not really used to it. So I think trying to balance in the week, I think sometimes is something helpful. Obviously, in the gig also, trying to don't eat junk food and stuff is something good, yeah.
Because also, especially this winter, everyone is crazy sick. Like, everyone is sick all the time.
I'm actually sick a bit.
Yeah.
You can hear a bit my
voice. I mean,
voice.
It's just, it's like, it's crazy. I think after the pandemic also, it's just so many different bacteria that we don't know of. But if you are an artist who are your work environment is the club, then you cannot avoid it. If you have another job, you were like, I can't go out because I cannot afford to be sick next week. But it's like, that's your home.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm gonna be. Yeah.
So food is then obviously crucial. Like vitamins and these things.
Yes, supplements and all of this. Yeah, I think it's really important to really balance it. Otherwise, you know, you just cannot make it, or you just start to become not healthy. And on a long run, doesn't work.
Yeah.
Maybe it works on a short run, but if you keep doing it, then you will see the result in a way.
Yeah, definitely.
Better don't push it. Better behave.
Yeah. Okay. Is there a moment when you look back on your career where you think like, that's where something inside of me clicked, or something like this?
Clicked for?
Like, that had a huge impact on why I chose this path, or something that kind of like evolved it somehow?
Yeah, it definitely evolved. It was like a very organic flow in a way. It was nothing that I never so much dreamed of or planned, as I said before. It was something that genuinely just came through. And then I just accepted it and I embraced it and own it in a way.
Yeah. So, like, what has been one of the biggest highlights? Like a gig or something?
In the last year, you mean? Or in general?
Since you started.
I mean, so basically everything pretty much started with this live stream for her back in April, because after 2 months, Europe started to open up. And then that's when I started to be booked way more in Europe, because before I was only performing in London, a little bit in France and in Ukraine. But then after this gig, that's also when I started to have my first tour in South America. And then, you know, just happened other two tours afterwards. And now I'll be going again shortly in Colombia in February. I think that definitely, you know, the party there in South America has really like shaped, you know, beautiful memories and of energy and warmth and expression of the people. That really stayed a lot in my mind and in my heart.
Like, that was recently. All the time.
Well, I've been there 3 times. So every time I've been there, it was always something like unforgettable. The last time was in April.
Yeah.
Yes. Was
no,
it?
You were not in South.
Well, no, I've been there again. No, yeah, I've been there in April and now I've been there 2 months ago, actually.
Yeah, exactly. I even knew that. Or not really.
I was a little bit confused.
Because I remember seeing you post about it.
Yeah, recently. Yeah, definitely. It was like,
and it was with
ago.
Such a thankfulness or like happiness and like I could sense that you really enjoyed that.
Yeah, especially Colombia. Like, I feel like Colombia is the most evolved in the whole South America with this whole new generational techno. Because also, I think it was one of the first countries there that started to push with international artists. Like, basically, now all the international artists of this genre already been there playing. And it's something like magnificent, you know, for South America in terms of culture, to shape the culture to all the new generation, calling actually international artists. Because also, they have amazing local artists. But obviously, you start to shape a lot of culture also through the influences of the international artists. Yeah. But it was also very beautiful to discover, you know, other countries like Chile or Argentina, also Costa Rica and Ecuador. It was really like fun experience because there it was even in more in the primary state. So like in Costa Rica, for example, I was the second international artist that they have had. So, you know, the scene was super fresh and it was already like so, so energized, you know, energetic and so wild. Same in Ecuador also. So it's really exciting to see, you know, all these new countries, you know, embracing this new vibe and reproducing, you know, these beautiful vibes of queerness and expression throughout the globe.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful.
Exactly. And imagine how much that means. In that country where it's not accessible.
Exactly.
It's like, do you feel
for
sometimes...
For them it's so precious, you know, because they're not as privileged, you know.
And do you think sometimes when you are in it, that it's somehow performing to Little Raf? You know, showing this person who didn't have anyone to like feel connected to, feel alike. Do you think it's like somehow... That also is a thought you have when you're performing that like.
Yeah, it is because also like they're very more, you know, Latino people are way more, you know, warm and expressive than almost like Central Europe population in a way. So they just come to tell you this, you know, how important, you know, for them is, you know, to have artists like me or queer artists there to show the way and way to just being yourself. And that's why it's also so beautiful for me to see all those beautiful communities, you know, of non-binary people that come there and they are just, you know, like screaming and showing all the love. This is like one of the most beautiful feeling, you know, from the job is traveling and meeting, you know, all the communities across the globe and sharing this moment, this night of love and unity.
Yeah.
It's priceless, completely. Like, you know, it's so tiring as a job, traveling and performing and being on shape and everything. But this is priceless. So this is what also motivates me a lot to keep going.
Yeah, you were speaking, it's very tiring to travel. also, but we have also spoken about how you recharge your batteries, that mm-hmm. it's the...
Yeah, it is something actually very important to say that the problem is not when there's a lot of work to do. The problem is when you don't recharge enough. And I think this is something that is a key in a way, because human being is very adaptable, but obviously you need to make sure that you find also the same time and amount to recharge yourself. And that's like my secret, because a lot of people still, you know, are questioning like how I managed to go through all of this and in the week still to work and do everything, go to the gym and do the deadlines and the tracks and the jewelry and all of this. But as long as you balance it properly, everything, then, you know, this is definitely achievable.
How do you balance it? Like, do you have a schedule then, or like...
With, you know, all these recovery parts in a
yeah,
way.
Yeah, because if you...
With discipline also.
Yeah, you need to be so strict, I guess. Because if you skip one thing...
Yeah, strict, but also don't be too strict, you know. Mm-hmm. Just also manage, you know, create time to enjoy life also, because we cannot be just machine. Yeah. So it's all about balance of all of this in a way, so you can just feel... you know, great with yourself, but also not too overstressed, you know, from everything that you want to do. Life is also to be enjoyed, not only to create in a way.
Yeah. But sometimes I feel like there are these things that you don't really think is like giving a lot of life. Like, for example, sitting on social media, but it's time consuming as fuck. Right?
Time consuming, energy consuming, mind consuming.
And it's hard to realize that it takes so much time. And then you're like, oh, should I, you know, do something, go to the gym? And then you're like, ah, no, I'm tired. And then you like sit and you scroll.
Yeah, what I say to myself is that I don't even have the possibility to be tired. So for me, there's not even a possibility to skip in my brain. Mm. So that's why then you don't start to question it. Because yeah. There's no question, girl. You have to go.
Yeah, but you also have strict rules for yourself when it comes to social media, for example, that you're not hanging out there so much, or, you know?
Yeah. I mean, after, for example, like 7 p.m., my replying and stuff start to be completely gone almost. So I set my boundary. Like when I wake up, I start to control everything, email, messages and stuff. Then if I have to do posts, I do it within 6 or 8 p.m. max, because that's the good time. And after that, I'm not that reliable. I'm not so available. I have to be present, you know, in life, because probably I'm meeting someone, because that's when I stop working away. So I'm chilling maybe with some friends. And if I'm with someone else, I'm present in the moment. So no phones are allowed. But it just comes naturally. Like I don't even have to think about it, that I don't have to use the phone because I'm with my friend.
No.
No. Yeah. So then obviously it comes that it's very late when I come back and then I go to sleep. So I don't deal with that anymore. So in a way, I put my boundaries. Otherwise, it will just, you know, suck all your energy and drain you.
It does,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I can imagine for other people, maybe do this for work, you know, like working with social media and stuff, like
yeah.
How draining is for them.
Exactly. And it's hard to know, like, am I working right now?
Oh, yeah.
Or am I not?
Yeah.
That also can also be. But yeah, anyway. So... we have come to the extra material.
We have now come to the part of the podcast where if you're a Patreon, you'll get to listen to the extra material where we speak about how to reach out with your music, what sound is in right now, and why the sound that's in isn't really doing much for the producer who created it. We also speak about how you can reach out with your music. And Meta Raff reveals some big goals for 2023. If you're curious, go to patreon.com/playfulmagazine.
It's either this or it's that. This is this or that.
So I'll say two alternatives.
Okay.
And you say which one fits in the best on you. Or like which one you prefer of them.
Okay.
London or Berlin?
Berlin.
Oh, look at that. tarot cards or crystals?
Tarot card.
Yeah, you have that.
Yeah, am I just choosing between them?
Yeah.
Or if I also have them, you mean?
No, I just, it's another another question.
I do not have any specific tarot card with me at the moment.
No, but you have it at home?
No, not at the moment.
No. But you have, okay, but you
I'm involved around tarot card people, definitely, yes.
So you get readings by friends on these things. And do you think it works?
Yeah, depends also who's reading. So depends on, you know, how accurate can be the message. But in a way, it led me the way. Yeah, it's not something I always do. No. You know, it's not something that to all my questions, I go to call some friends.
That's Oracle.
Yeah, but sometimes it just comes by the universe itself and I just take it. And maybe in that moment, I actually need it. And in a way, it works.
Yeah. Okay, cool. This one we got the answer to. Go for a run or go to the gym?
To the gym, so I do everything there. I run, I do all the exercise.
So you're not a nature person?
Well, it depends.
In that sense.
Spring and summer anymore. And also, at the moment, I just started this process with gym, so which inquires with machine and stuff, which I'm just exploring it more now. Before, maybe I was exploring more, you know, the natural running and doing that type of exercise outdoor. Ah. So it's just more like now I'm shifted into this phase, but I definitely love a run during spring and summer.
Okay. Nice. Christmas or Halloween?
Halloween.
So quick. Extrovert or introvert?
Introvert.
Yeah. Do you think it's then tiring, the work you have, meeting so many people each weekend who you don't know? Like, is that part of the job that you feel is the most tiring, or?
It's one of the parts, let's say, the most tiring in a way, this social interaction. But gladly, I manage to always end up with people that I still vibe with, even if, you know, I'm maybe a bit tired already and stuff. The easiness of the flow allows it to still, you know, navigate it without issue. But, you know, if I don't feel so much vibe with someone, then I just don't have to prove anything to, or, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. Red wine or Red Bull?
I will say Red Bull, unfortunately.
Yeah, are you a caffeine junkie?
Because I don't like wine. It's really strong on my stomach.
Ah, it's very acid.
Yeah. So that's why I don't really drink so much in gigs also for this, because maybe I can drink one or two glasses, but wine, it's very triggering in a way. And I like an energy drink, but not as much, because otherwise your heart pumps too much. So that's why I will say Red Bull. That's why...
Yeah,
I'm not so proud of it.
It's funny though. Okay, finding out. Okay, silver or gold?
Silver.
Yeah. Latex or leather?
Leather.
Oh, really? Yeah. Panorama bar or Berghain?
Berghain.
One best friend or several semi-close friends?
One best friend.
Yeah, that's the introvert's answer, right?
You don't need more quality than quantity.
Yeah, yeah. Tokyo or New York?
Tokyo.
Yeah, feels... I'm just saying yeah whenever I'm thinking I place you in a category.
Thank you.
Sex or making out?
Making out.
Nice. Thank you so thank much.
It was so fun.
Yeah.
So easy for me to talk to you. Yes. Thank you, baby.
So lovely. You're the best. Okay.
Yeah, you are.
This was it for Playful Podcast this week, but please follow, subscribe, and listen to our next episode. And if you want to have a say about future artists or even ask your own question to one of our guests, follow us on Instagram and make sure to add your question when we lift our coming guests. Thank you so much for joining and see you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.